equal. If I'm on the football field and that's where I'm supposed to be and that's where God has me, then that's where I ought to be. And I ought to be living to the fullest what God has for me and where he is. But the same goes for the hospital bed. And I believe that no matter what season of life that God has us in, there's some common things that are required. And when you look at somebody else's life and you see how well things are going, and you look back on your own life and you think of times that were, oh, that was a good time. But if you really look back to live that season that you were in that seemed so good, it still required perseverance. It required perseverance. If you're honest with yourself, it required perseverance. And what does perseverance require? But faith. Faith will produce perseverance no matter the season. And so I'm encouraging you, but you really know what? I'm encouraging myself to allow God to have different seasons in your life. It's kind of how he functions. You know, you get to know God. If you spend enough time in the Word and you look at your life and you overlap your life over the Word, you know, you see, I said that order and purpose. You look at the Word and you lay your life on top of the Word. You don't look at your life and then lay the Word on top of your life. So you look at the Word and you lay your life over it and you begin to see how God operates. It's an important thing to know God, to know the deep theological truths of God, but to also know after a while you get a feel of, you can never second guess God. He will always surprise you. But you can know God. He works in some, and you look at the lives of his men or women in the Bible, and you see that there are different seasons, and he uses the agricultural, those examples so often, the farmer, the athlete, and different ones that he uses, the soldier, over and over, particularly the farmer. And that there is a time for planting. There's a time for watering. There's a time for waiting. There's a time for harvesting. There's a time to let the land be at rest before it goes back to work. And there's not failure in those seasons. If the land is at rest and there's no big harvest going on, that doesn't mean that there's failure. That's what it's supposed to be doing. That's the season for it. And if we try to continue harvesting when we should be planting, we will be frustrated and depressed. And when it comes time to plant, we better be planting if we want a harvest. But if we try to force harvesting to be all the time when there should be rest, or when it's time to harvest, we shouldn't be resting. It takes a sensitivity to what God is doing in our lives. But to accept what God is doing, and that can be the hardest part. Accept where God has you, or it will be a frustrating life for you. There's so many times for myself, it takes me a long time to recognize when God has moved me into a different season, or that, and I'm frustratingly trying to carry on with the former season. But if I'm listening to God, I can walk in this. You know, during harvest time, you need to be prepared. You may be working 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day, bringing in the harvest. It's a joyful thing. And people are going to see you out there working and laboring. And I've had this happen often. And people say, you're ruining your health. You need to get some rest. I say, rest? The harvest is going on. You rest. I'm in the field. I'm in the field. There's a great cost, but there is a great harvest to be had. And when it's harvest time, you need to be willing to lay down everything and work and labor. And my dad was good at this. He knew when it was time to work. And I thought it was time to rest when the sun went down. Oh, good. Whew. I can go play. I can go hang with my friends. Son, get the lights out. Oh, because he knew. He knew when it was time to work. But he knew when it was time to sit on the porch and drink sweet tea and watch the sun go down over the Georgia pines. He knew how to do that. And you see, if I would have recognized that more, when I was laboring and working, I would have just thought he was such a hard-nosed guy. But if I would have looked at it, but you know what? He knows when to rest. He knows when to sit on the porch. and watch the sunset and talk about the sunset and talk about philosophical things. But he also knows when to talk about practical things. No, that's not the way you plant the corn. That's not it. It's not the way you make the row. That's not the way you pound the nail. There are seasons for things. Nobody drove by and saw Earl Lane sitting on the porch drinking tea and said, "Well, that's a lazy guy." No, he was doing what was in season. That was in season. To rest. To relax. To visit. Psalm 25, and we'll look up these in detail later, but Psalm 25 says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He will instruct in the way chosen for him. The Lord confides in those who hear him." So there's some important ingredients. The things that we do no matter the season. So I'm going to tell you this morning three things that God expects of you in this season. And you say, "What season is it?" I don't know. I don't know what season it is for you. Maybe we could talk and we could discuss and guess. But God has, I want to give you three things he wants you to do during, that he expects of you during this season. You know, there's a season for training and learning. Like going to school, there's a season. For the student, a college student, you don't expect them to be out in the world making money and just killing it out there. You expect them to be, no, they need to be in class. They may be barely surviving, eating ramen noodles. That's okay. We don't expect them to bring in an income. They're in school. That's the season of their life. But if they keep living like that when it's time to be out there working and earning a living, that's wrong. They try to extend that season. Extend it until it becomes ugly. You know, it's you know back in the 70s, and you know, I have this friend. He was a cool guy. He ran the 800 meters, and he had this long curly hair, and he was this wiry little guy, and he had this big bushy beard. And that guy could just go. He could hike. He could run. Man, he could, and he was cool. You look at him. He had his torn up Levi's and his big old bushy beard. And that season in his life, that was cool. He still has long hair, big old bald spot in the pot, big old bushy beard, torn up Levi's, barefooted. I'm thinking, what are you doing? That's not cool anymore. Get a job. And you can't run like you used to could run, no matter what you think. That season's over. That season's over. But there's another season. There's another season. And it changes. You know, there's a season when you should focus on your family. God, there is a season, I may sound sacrilegious here a little bit, okay? You should focus on your family. Put them first above everything. You invest everything in them during that season, and you enjoy it. Don't do it begrudgingly. But you know, there may be a season when you have to leave your family. You see, I've done this. I've experienced that. Of actually leaving and going somewhere overseas by myself and leaving them. But it was God's season. But if I got those things mixed up, I couldn't do it right now. I could not do it right. I still have a yearning. I heard this thing on the radio. You'll like this, David. This thing. You know, I still have this yearning to see the world. And so I've always doubted myself about that a little bit. I just want to experience other cultures and see the world and have adventures. And I heard this guy say, that's God-given. That's not just the flesh. That's God-given because God wants people from every tribe, every tongue, every culture. His plan is to have all those people to gather in heaven together and worship Him with one voice. And so He puts that desire. We care about other places and other things. But I can't be there now. And if I yearn for that, if I set my heart on that, when my heart needs to be on my family, I get the seasons mixed up. Or if I go ahead and I don't put my heart in where I am. What was it that to live every situation to the hilt that you know to be God's. Am I saying it right? Thank you. It takes being in tune. I'm going to give you some hints this morning of what you need to be doing to be in tune, to be in the right season, and some things you need to do through every season. I just wish if there's not disobedience in your life, if you're not pursuing the flesh, if you want God's desire and God's will in your life, I wish I could get you to accept where God has you. You know, I'm not picking on you this morning, David, but I am. But you remember when David was sharing about what God had called him to? And he kind of had this concern, you know, and he voiced this to me a couple other times. There's this concern that, don't expect, you know, I'm going to be there. If I'm there for 3 years and I'm not calling back and telling you about all this fruit, don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? That's not your season. That's not your season. And so what he was telling you was, he was saying this same thing in different words, that he was warning you, this is my season. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's going to be extensive. That I'm for a while, I'm this may be planting, or I may just, whatever it is. So he was saying you should not expect this great harvest. It's not the season for that. This is the season. And he was kind of setting you up saying, this is what you should expect from me, because this is the season that God has called me to, and I know it. Now, we don't always are so sure about it, but he was sure about it. You know, I think of, even a mom with little ones. Do you know how frustrating, how demanding that can be? It can overwhelm your life, and it seems like there's no other thing exists out there. And I'm not talking to you, Kat, really. There's just nothing else that exists out there. I haven't lived that exactly, but I've tasted of it, and I've seen the frustration of it, and I've seen... But you know... For you moms that have gone through that, isn't there this place you come where you can excel? This is what God has called me to. I'm going to invest my life in these ones because that is what He's called me to. I'm going to do it with my whole heart and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it because it's God's appointed time. And if I try to live in a different era when this is my appointed time, I am going to mess up this one. I'm going to mess it up. Trust God. And live where you are. This is the season. Live in the season that He has you in. Now, don't fool yourself. We are so prone to do this, okay? Don't fool yourself by rationalizing your pursuit of your own way as a season. Your pursuit of the flesh and your own desires, that's not a season. That's sin. That's not a season. If you do that, you will never experience true God-blessed rest. You know, rest without guilt. You've labored the night. You've brought in the harvest. You've done what you were called to do, and now you're going to lay your head down and you're going to rest. And it's sweet rest. But if you've never enjoyed the all night labor, then you don't know what it's like to have the joy of bringing in the net so full of fish that the net cannot hold them because you were willing to labor all night. You were in the season of the harvest and you did not quit. You did not quit. But then you've been resting all night and you run out and you say, oh, I want to do that too. I want to do that too. And you run out and you work. And God's going, what are you doing? That season's over. This is the season of rest. This is the season to recuperate, to prepare. You know, in the wintertime, the farmer may sit by the fire a little bit more, you know? He may not be out in the field every day watering or planting or cutting back weeds or even harvesting. But you see, his heart is in the harvest. His heart, he's a farmer. He's not sitting by the fire just to sit by the fire. His heart is in the harvest. But right now, it's time to sit by the fire. But he needs to be alert, because there's going to come a time when winter's over and he needs to get out in the field. If he doesn't get out in the field when it's time, he may miss out on the harvest, which is his heart. Anyway, we must prepare for that kind of fruit. And preparing is being in the season that God has called you to be in. And to do it joyfully, and to do it with faith, as we talked about last week. So, what does God desire of you in this season that you find yourself in? Now, we're called Christians. You know, that was almost an insulting term when it first came out, like little Christ. We are called followers of Christ. We're called children of God. All of those terms, whatever you call us, whatever scriptural term you call us, true followers of Christ, Jesus followers, they denote that we have taken on the heart, the purpose, the cause of Christ. So, if the cause or the purpose is the harvest, that doesn't mean that we're always out there on a ladder picking fruit. There's some other things. There are different seasons. But we are farmers, and our heart is in the harvest, no matter what the season is. And what is the desire? What did Jesus, what is his purpose? Let's go to Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That's why he came. That was his cause and his purpose. Ours is the same. So what does God desire of you in this season? I heard something similar to this. I didn't hear any of the other stuff that we're talking about, but I heard these, at least two of these three words together. And I don't even remember the context it was in, but this is the context that I'm putting it in. What does he call you to? He calls you to faith, humility, and intimacy. So let's turn to Psalm 25. It contains all of these in this order. You know, so often we like to look at each other's lives, and that's not always wrong to do. We can learn from that. But we have to be careful with judging another. We brought this up a little bit already, but I'll make it more explicit. We have to be careful about judging another in that we think we know their season, or we assume what season they're in. We don't always know that. We can't know another person's story. Now, are we to judge each other in the sense of what's your purpose in life? What you're called? Yeah, we are. We're not to judge those outside the house of God. We're to judge those inside. In other words, we're to call each other to this thing of what's your purpose for living? What's your heart? Where are you headed? But to try to judge someone's season, what are you doing sitting on the porch drinking iced tea? Well, I'm doing that because it's the season. That's the season. That's what God's called me to right now. But when it comes time for the harvest, I cannot wait. I will be out there, and I will be laboring until exhaustion. But that's not the season. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 3. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. And then humility, that was faith. Humility, verses 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right. and teaches them his way. Do you see both of these? No matter what season you're in, are you going to hear from God? Are you going to know when the seasons change? Are you going to be in tune, in step? Well, these three things need to be going on year round. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And then verse 12, the same thing, humility. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Well, how will I know? How will I know? God will instruct you. He is faithful. He is a faithful teacher. He is a faithful leader. He is a faithful shepherd. When you are following him, he will instruct you in the way to go. If you're following your flesh, you're following your own desire, you may never even hear. The seasons change and you do not know it. Verses 13 to 15. I believe all of these deal with intimacy with Christ. He will spend his days in prosperity. His prosperity, richness of fellowship with Jesus. And his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. We do not need to fear that we will not know. If we fear God, if we trust him, if we deal with sin as it comes, as we're aware of it in our lives, if we have faith and humility and intimacy, we will hear. He will let us know. But I want to know now. We don't know. We don't know the day the leaves are going to change colors, do we? We don't know that day. But there it is all of a sudden. It seems like it happened overnight. Just full of the glorious color. And there, all the seasons have changed. I find myself in a different place. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on what I want. My eyes are ever on myself. My eyes are ever on my family. My eyes are ever on my job. My eyes are ever on my situation. My eyes are ever on the Lord. I have fellowship with him, intimacy with him, and he promises, I'll let you know when the seasons change. You will see it. It will be as clear as a fall day. It will be clear. I'll let you know. You trust me, though, right now where you are. Trust me. You're panicking, and this is just the season I have you in. Don't panic and ruin it. I have something for you in it. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. And then, when these things are true, take a deep breath. You can honestly ask God, and without hesitation, ask for God's blessing on where you are now. You know, I was reading this the other day, and I shared with the guys in Deuteronomy 33. And you know the story there is Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land, and he's not begrudging God for that. That's a consequence. And he's blessing the children. So I got to that, and I thought, you know, I don't really, my devotion, my time is short this morning. I don't really have time to read. And I have a whole chapter of blessings that from Moses. I don't really want to read all this. But I started reading. It's like, he just is asking his blessing over practical stuff, over the crops, over their children, over the strength of the people, over the all this stuff. He's just asking for blessings on everything. Or he's actually blessing them and saying, I bless. It's like, when you are where God wants you to be, have the good sense to ask for his blessing on the season you are in. It's not always asking him to change because you're ready for a change. You know, you cannot force God's hand in changing the seasons. He reserves that right for himself. And he says, I'll let you know. I will let you know. I'll bless you where you are. Don't be afraid to ask. But if you're all anxious and bent out of shape and worried You'll never get it. You'll never be aware. You ask for God's blessing where you are. Where you are. And He will bless you where you are and what He's called you to do. Whether it's out laboring to exhaustion, He'll give you strength to carry on. Whether you're in the hospital bed, and He'll give you His presence to go with you. And you'll have such glorious times of fellowship with Him in the hospital bed that you ever had in your strongest moment. Ask God for His blessings where you are. But can I pray to get out of the hospital bed? Well, yeah. And that, yeah, you can pray for healing, of course. But you continue to trust God for where you are. And then, whatever season it is, you're ready, you're living life to the fullest. And even when it comes time to die, you will do it well. Even when it's time to die, you will die well. Let's look at Paul. He was ready. He saw the season of his life. This is the season to die. And he was going to do it well. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. It's a familiar verse, I know. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. That was his season. He was doing it well. And it was dying. We can certainly live and live well by trusting Him, by humility, and by intimacy with Him. Well, we'll have communion now.